sports and basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Hey, everybody. Goodman's somewhere. Goodman's on vacation. Bob Ryan's on vacation. So I'm working here with Brian Robb, also known as B-Robb on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You hear him on the Felger and Mad show. He's the only one that knows anything about basketball on that show. So when Mike and Tony start going crazy, they go to B-Robb in the closet, and he set them straight. Also, you can read him at masslive.com. He's covering, of course, the summer games out of Vegas. And we got to remind you that this episode of the Goodman Ryan podcast is powered by Bet Online, the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. B-Robb, what's going on in Vegas? What's the big story?
I mean, the big story right now, it has to start with Durant. That's where all the gossip is right now in terms of what's going to go on there. We know Kyrie Irving made an appearance out here. Ben Simmons was out here as well. So, I mean,
did Kyrie talk to anybody?
Kyrie, many people made a run at him. Many media members from Brooklyn actually talked to a few of them after the fact, and he just politely gave the old no comment. I'm here just to watch the games in Summer League, of course. So I don't know what Kyrie's doing out here, whether he's doing damage control with his fellow players or whatnot, but it's been quite the scene.
What are you hearing?
I'm hearing just like the fact is I don't think there's an obvious destination for Durant right now, because you look what Danny Ainge did, Gary, in Utah with getting four first round picks for Rudy Gobert and a bunch of other stuff. So now if you're the Sean Marks, the Nets GM, you're like, all right, well, what can you demand for Kevin Durant right now? And so that's one side of it. But then if you're other teams around the league and you look at the Nets situation with him and Kyrie, you're like, oh, maybe we can, you know, take advantage here because they're kind of screwed either way. And so I think we're seeing right now a bit of a stalemate. And in terms of both sides are going to try to maybe, you know, teams around the league and the Nets are going to be trying to play hardball a little bit. And where that ends up this summer is going to be fascinating to see if some team steps up to the plate and makes the offer to get Durant away from them.
Is there any reason to be nervous about a Durant deal? 34 years old, right? I believe.
Sure.
34 yep. years old. Did not play well in the playoffs. Injury nope. last year. Obviously a top five player. I mean, hands down. You know, late, over the past couple of years, it's been like, who's better, LeBron or Durant, right? I mean, hands down. But at this stage of the game, though, B-Robb, would you be leery to sell the farm for Durant?
I would be if I was certain teams. But by and large, though, Durant is still – I know he had a bad series against the Celtics. But, like, the Nets were just such a mess this year.
Right.
And I put – and I don't blame that on Durant. You look at Durant's numbers all year long. He was playing crazy minutes for them and was coming back from a knee injury in February and – coming back from that to play, you know, 40, 45 minutes per game, even to get them in the playoffs in the first place. So part of me wants to go over here and say, yeah, you know, he's got a lot of miles on those tires coming off the Achilles, the knee stuff. You don't know how long he's going to be healthy for, but he is still like incredible. So you put him on a team with actual pieces in place around him, then I still think you're going to get two or three more, you know, Hall of Fame caliber years out of him. So the question is, will that team emerge? And is there, you know, do one of those teams want to give up the bounty for him? And I'm not sure that's the case.
It seems he and Kyrie are both going to end up back in Brooklyn to me. That's
right? It's kind of, but if you're the Nets though, Gary, do you let that happen? Like if you're ownership and if you're Sean Marks, do you let say like, okay, like we have no good alternatives here. Just like let the inmates run the asylum again.
Well, I mean, what do you do though? Because here's the one thing you could say to Durant is, look, pal, your legacy's on the line. People now look at you in a different way than they did when he was at Golden State.
Sure.
Obviously, when he went to Golden State, I love Steph, but Durant's the better player. I mean, I'm comparing maybe, you know, an A plus to an A, you know, but right. I think Durant's, he's 7 feet, for God's sakes. You know, so, I mean, it's God bless Steph, you know, they won without him. But Durant's legacy's been hurt. It really has. So the only way you can get to a guy like him is like, dude, you know, do you have anything left? Do you have, people think you're kind of a, I mean, people think he's kind of a malcontent. People think he's kind of a bad guy, you know? And the only way to erase that is win.
It's true. And I so mean, the, and for him, it's like, can you convince him to do that again in Brooklyn? Like with time and saying, okay, well.
I'm the owner. And I, it's still the Russian guy, right? I mean, has he sold or
it's, yeah, no, he, yeah, so he, I think he sold a year. So it's a new owner in the last year or two, Joe Tsai, I believe.
Okay. So if I'm the owner, that's what I do. I go in and I say, look, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Because if I'm the Nets, if you, you want to rebuild? I mean, my God, you know, I don't want to rebuild. No. I mean, because here's another problem that the Nets have is regardless of how good it's a Knicks town, man. And if the yep. Knicks, the Knicks made some deals, you know, and if the Knicks all of a sudden are better than the Nets, everybody's going to Madison Square Garden. Everybody's going to Knicks games. So the Nets, to me, can't afford to rebuild, I think. So that's what I would do. But, yeah.
I think you're right. I think from, because it's like the inherent, it's like the Clippers and the Lakers. It's like you're always going to be playing from behind for, you know, when you're in that town.
There's no question.
And so now, yeah, like if you have Durant, he signed an extension with you, not like a couple years ago. He signed it like last fall. So for you, when you have someone who made that kind of commitment just months ago, you're certainly not going to be in any rush to move him just because he wants to be moved.
Well, here's another thing. And I think, Brian, you may know this better than me, but from what I've gathered from individuals, and I can't remember who said it. I don't know if it was Wojnarowski or Stephen A. But someone I is that, you know, to his core, Kevin Durant's a gym rat.
Yeah.
I mean, to his core, I mean, that's all the great ones are to their core. I mean, we saw that with Paul Pierce. You know, they at the end, you know, you can have all the commercials and sneakers, and at the end of the day, they're gym rats. And can Kevin Durant stay away from a team and not play hard? I don't believe he can.
I think that's probably the best bet that the Nets have right now. Just falling back on that, being like, listen, it's, you can say all you want that you want out in the middle of the summer, but when, you know, we get to training camp here, like, what are you going to sit out?
Yeah.
Miss out on millions of dollars per year and like tarnish your legacy, mind. Like you talked about. Yeah. It's like,
are you kidding me? And it's not even the money with Durant to me.
Right.
Because I kind of feel bad for him a little bit. I know that when he left Golden State, I don't know what his deal is. He's a great player, and I don't want it to end like this for him. He's a great player, and I hope it goes on the upswing for him. Anyways, summer league is tough. You know, it's like spring training. There's always some kid out there, oh, this guy looks good. You know, the next thing you know, he's like playing in the G League. He's like playing for Kalamazoo. Anybody stick out? I mean, that second round pick had a good quarter, right? Like, didn't he light it up? What's his face?
Yeah, J.D. Davidson. Yeah, he had a nice first game. He had a few, you know, glimpses of potential and whatnot. But he's 19. He's pretty raw still. He's going to be in Maine for probably the next.
How about the big kid, the seven foot three dude that was taken second overall? I should remember his name, but
Holmgren. Yes.
Yeah. What's his deal? Because I was reading some things about him that he's
pretty. Yeah. No, he's been stealing the show. He actually played. You know, they have the he played in Utah, I think, too, like in the summer league before even coming to Vegas. So he's had a bunch of summer league games for last week now. But he's been easily the best player in this draft so far. And that's, he's thin as a rail. You wonder if they're going to ever add some muscle to that in OKC in the next couple of years, but he can shoot, he can protect the paint, tons of blocks. And so that's, the buzz has definitely been around him more than anyone else, I think, so far here in Vegas. And so it's a matter are they going to have enough around OKC to put around him to be able to, you know, actually get them back on the map in the next year or two, because he looks like he could, you know, definitely be an all-star down the line.
Okay, now let's get to the Celtics. What are you hearing about the C's? Jaylen Brown sent signals maybe that he wants out, and, you know, the Celts made some deals. I mean, Brad Stevens, man, back-to-back seasons as a good GM.
It's been quite the 12 months for him. I mean, he was thrown into a pretty dicey situation last summer with the way that thing ended during the COVID year. And now, you come back, you turn Kemba Walker into Al Horford. You make a trade deadline addition in Derek White, which I think allowed them to get to the finals in the first place, because I know he faltered there, but that was a key piece going forward. And now for them, Gary, to add Malcolm Brogdon and Gallinari without touching the rotation. I mean, that's nuts. I think this is the deepest team in the NBA right now, I feel like. And
I'm with you. When I saw those deals made, I mean, and this is like, to me, like the Gallinari move. I mean, Brian, every championship team, hey, you could say it, they were in the championship, okay?
Yeah.
But every team that makes a run at a title has got a guy like him, whether it's P.J. Brown, you know, or guys coming off the bench that are at the end of their career that have a game. Yep. And then when they got Gallinari, I said, that's the guy. That's the guy that somewhere in the postseason or in the finals, he's going to have a game. He's going to have like 8 threes. You know, you don't have to play him a lot during a regular season. I mean, whatever, fine. You know, who cares? You know, and Brogdon and Smart, they'll be fine. Well, Marcus, you know, Marcus is just, I've done a 180 on him, you know, because he's done a 180 with his game. He changed his game for the better. But there's room for Marcus and Brogdon, right? I mean, don't you think?
Oh, I definitely think so. To your point, Smart really embraced like the point guard role last year, but Brogdon is big enough where you can play those guys together,
right?
Without problem. Like you can have just Brogdon can shoot the three. So he can space the floor if you need him to, but if Smart's having a rough game and you want to play him more at point guard, you can do that too. So what this all comes down to is Ime Udoka is just going to have a lot more options than he had all last season when you got to the finals matchup and the Celtics bench just really did not match up with what the Warriors had to offer there. And now you have another guard you can throw in the mix. You can play smaller if Gallinari, you can play him at the four. You can play him at center based on the matchup, and that gives them just a ton more shooting on the floor. And Tatum and Brown just have not had that for the last couple of years, and that could be a game changer for the offense.
I'm a huge fan of Jaylen Brown as a person. I've always liked him. I think that he has exceeded my expectations. We all remember when they Wick got booed with the pick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's been a great pick, but there's one thing that he has to do to become on the same level as Tatum, in my opinion. And I think that he wants to be viewed as good as Tatum. And I don't think he is yet, because he can't handle the ball as well as he should. It's real simple. I saw him lose the ball going to the basket too many times. And I think you can still fix it. If you want to be a premier player in the league, you have to be able to shoot the three. You have to be able to play defense at least when you want to. And you got to be able to get to the basket whenever you want. And to me, that's the one thing that's keeping him from being at Tatum's level.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And so I think these moves will help him get to that point in terms of, will that give him more space on the floor to operate? And a lot of that has to be on him, though, in terms of improving his handle and being able to get to where he wants without turning over the ball. But as you point out, Gary, like over the course of his career, he just improves year by year.
Right.
And that's something I feel like that's a rarity in today's NBA, because there's a situation where guys take a step back and you see a lot of young players or even teams like teams like the Hawks this year that, you know, they made the East Finals last year. And then this year they all thought they were great and no one really took a step forward there. But Jaylen Brown has continuously done that throughout a bunch of different roles throughout his career. And now, like you said, this is like maybe the last step for him is to be that guy.
Did you hear anything about Tatum being hurt in the finals?
I speculated with a lot of people about it, to be honest, because he looked like an absolute shell of himself. But to his credit, I guess, he kind of like brushed it off after the series saying like, no, I was fine. Like the shoulder thing was clearly bugging him somewhat. But to be honest, I think it seemed like the whole team just ran out of gas. Like they were playing dumb. They're making the same mistakes over and over, and the Warriors just look fresher. And obviously we're playing the game a lot smarter with Curry and Thompson, and even Draymond Green came around there at the end whereas no one on the Celtics roster really stepped up.
Well, you know, I mean, plus they had some of their guys, you know, some of the young guys step up as well too. And
right.
I think based on what we've seen in the past, again, what probably hurt the Celtics was the lack of bench.
Yep.
That when you say they ran out of gas, those guys had to play a lot. right? And I know it's very easy for us to say, well, they make millions of dollars and they're supposed to play all the time. But, you know, when you have a PJ Brown that can come off the bench, when you have various teams, generally when they make a run, there's always somebody off the bench that is as important as a starter. You know, I always look at Andre Iguodala with Golden State when they won that first one. I mean, the guy who was the MVP, it was like, you know, he's like a role player. And I thought that at the end of the day caught up with the Celts. And I do think Tatum was hurt. I do think he was hurt, and he's just going to take it like, you know, he's not going to use it as an excuse.
Yeah. We talked to him out here. He showed up in Vegas for, on Sunday, and yeah, he was, to his credit, taking it like a man, like you said, like in terms of being asked about what happened in the finals and how much is still sticking with him. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, it was a great year or whatever, but you know, it doesn't mean anything. And so for him to kind of take it like that, use it as fuel, like acknowledge just how bad he was. And I think that could go a long way for him going forward.
What did you think, B-Rob, of Danny's move in Utah? We touched on it earlier, but clearing the decks there.
I love it. I've never been – when Gobert signed that, like, Supermax contract extension a couple years ago, I was like, that's a terrible contract. Like, already. And that was before Utah kept flaming out year after year in the first round of the postseason where he would get exposed because you can't pay – a center, Gary, like $45 million if he can't even create his own shot. And so like for Danny Ainge to come in there and, you know, see things are kind of blowing up. I think there's probably some internal stuff too between Gobert and Donovan Mitchell that was never sorted out. The coach, obviously Quinn Snyder, they couldn't convince him to stay. And so it's like, okay, let's, it kind of reminds me of like when Danny came into the Celtics in 2002 or 2003 and said, you know, Pierce and Antoine were there together, but it was like, listen, this is not a championship core right now. Like, we got to move Antoine. And so, I mean, Gobert is better than Antoine ever was, but he still is to get four or five first round picks for him is a crazy good haul, I feel like.
Yeah, Danny won on that one. And as we all know, he loves draft picks.
he does.
Let's see what he does.
Right.
Draft picks. Final question for you, B-Rob. What are you following? Like, when you sit back and you look at the league this coming season, what is like a storyline, whether it's with the Celtics or whether it's a national story that you think is sort of brewing and you're keeping an eye on?
I'm honestly keeping a close eye on the Philly situation. I mean, beyond Brooklyn, obviously, but Philly's fascinating to me. Like the James Harden, like, is he, I don't know. Do you think he's done, Gary? Like just based
that's
on
a
last
great year? Question, Brian. And I think that you're right. I mean, I to be honest with you, I forgot all about him until you just mentioned it. You know,
right?
Right out of mind. I don't think he's done, and I'll tell you why. Because when he first went to the Nets, he was an assist machine.
Yep.
He was an assist machine, and he did lead the NBA in assists one year. Okay, when he was in Houston. He did lead the NBA in assists. Somebody said it to me and I said, are you sure? And I looked it up and it was true. I don't know what happened at the end of the year with Philly. The big guy's got to be healthy. I'm not counting out Harden yet, but this is it. I mean, it's the famous final scene for him. This is it. And if he's got to show up, because I do think that when he started in Brooklyn, he did so with best intentions, because I saw him distributing the basketball and I said, look out, because if Kyrie wants to play and, you know, Durant, I thought those three were going to clean it. I thought those three were going to kill everybody. I really did, because Harden was dishing the ball. But then, you know, Kyrie is like, off the reservation, going to his sister's birthday party and blah, 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 you know. So, but this is it, James Harden. This is your last chance. And I hope that he comes through, because I love the NBA right now. I love the East. I mean, I was so frustrated when it was just all the West, but I love, you know, Milwaukee and Philly and, you know, in Brooklyn. I love the competition in Miami. And, you know, for a while it was just, you know, when Isaiah Thomas can lead a team to the freaking Eastern Conference Finals, that means the conference sucks.
Right.
No disrespect. I'm sorry. Wick Grouse got mad at me for saying that way back when. But, I mean, I'm serious. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, now we got, like, when you take a look at the Eastern Conference Finals, we got some games.
Oh, yeah.
So, I
it was a,
Yeah.
It was a second tier conference for years. It was like, to your point. And now you'd say maybe you're going to have three or four of the best five teams.
Hart's healthy with Philly, right? Milwaukee's coming back with a vengeance. You know as well as I do, when they get everybody healthy. I don't know what the hell Miami can do, but they amaze me. You know, I always count them out. Now they're not going to be there, but they're going to cause problems. And then if Durant and gets his act together with Brooklyn and the Celtics, I mean, and maybe Atlanta bounces back, you know, it's awesome. So
it is. It's loaded. It should be a lot to watch. But yeah, I think the Harden part of that is probably, I think given what Philly did this offseason, they got PJ Tucker in there. They made a couple other moves under the radar. So if Harden looks like himself there, that could be a pretty strong third team in there next to the Celtics and the Bucks.
All right, Brian, before I let you go, I have to say that our partners BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's National Football League futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and, of course, your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up. Promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Brian Robb, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on, bud. Keep up the good work. And when are you back with Felger and Mavs? Are you going to be back with them? I know you're on with those guys on the weekend, but are you going to do any stuff with them during the regular season?
Whenever they call me up, whenever they need me.
So I love it.
I'll be in the closet.
I love Brian Robb because Felger just talks out of his ass so much about basketball. Stick a puck in it, Felgie. Brian, thank you. Be good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gary.